Three Paradoxes of Biblical Apologetics by Robert C. Newman. Abstract: A brief sketch on apologetic methodology organized around three paradoxes. Do unbelievers really know the truth? Just how plain to humans is the truth? Three, what should we do to help? What is apologetics? This is a technical term in theology for defense of the Christian faith against attacks and the positive evidence for the truth of Christianity. It does not have anything to do with apologizing in the usual sense of that word today. Doing apologetics. In thinking about how to help Christians and seekers in defending the faith and giving evidence for it, the Bible provides some guidelines that are most helpful. Yet some of these are puzzling. We might call them paradoxes, that is, statements which at first sight seem to be contradictory. So, three paradoxes. Do unbelievers already know the truth? Some passages suggest the answer is yes, others that it is no. Two, just how plain to humans is the truth? Some passages suggest that it is clearly seen, others that no one knows. Three, what should we do to help? Should we respond or not? And how? So, let's begin. Do they already know? Romans 1:18 tells us that they are suppressing the truth. Proverbs 14:12 tells us that their way seems right to them. Let's look at those two. Romans 1:18 in the New International Version. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Proverbs 14:12. There's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. See also Proverbs 16:2 through 5, and that looks like this. All a man's ways seem innocent to him, but motives are weighed by the Lord. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed. The Lord works out everything for his own ends, even the wicked for a day of disaster. The Lord detests all the proud of heart. Be sure of this, they will not go unpunished. So, do they already know? Well, yes and no. At some level, people know enough to know that they don't want to go that way, so they suppress the truth to keep from facing it. To the extent that they are successful in suppressing the truth, they may be able to feel relatively sincere about their lifestyle. They need God to show them what is going on in their hearts. We may be able to assist. We move to the second paradox. How plain is the truth? Well, the truth is clearly seen, says Romans 1:19 through 20. But no one knows, says Ecclesiastes 8:16 and 17. Let's look at those. Romans 1:19 and 20, we'll start with 18. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness, since what may be known about God is plain to them, because he has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. Very strong. Ecclesiastes 8:16 and 17. When I applied my mind to know wisdom and to observe man's labor on earth, his eyes not seeing sleep day or night, then I saw all that God has done. No one can comprehend what goes on under the sun. Despite all his efforts to search it out, man cannot discover its meaning. Even if a wise man claims he knows, he cannot really comprehend it. So, how clear is the truth? Well, it's clear enough to make us responsible for not responding properly. God has given real and objective evidence of himself in cosmos and conscience. And I have a PowerPoint with kind of a title, God Revealed in Cosmos and Conscience or something of that sort. Yet, it is possible to ignore it or distort the evidence. And of course, none of us know the whole story. There's much that is deep and mysterious about God and what he is doing. That brings us to our third paradox. What should we do? And one passage in Proverbs says it this way. We'll look at it in detail in a second here. Don't answer a fool. Answer a fool. Proverbs 26, 4 and 5. Here's what it actually looks like. Do not answer a fool according to his folly, or you will be like him yourself. Answer a fool according to his folly, or he will be wise in his own eyes. So, what should we do? The book of Proverbs uses the term fool for one who denies or ignores the claims of God on his or her life. This proverb, an intentional paradox, shows us there are dangers in how we respond to fools. If we don't respond, they will think their views are unanswerable. If we do respond, there's a danger of becoming like them. Well, two passages kind of give us a good summary on apologetics. One of them is 1 Peter 3:15, which basically says, be ready, be reasonable, be humble. And the other is 2 Timothy 2:24 through 26, be patient, be trusting. Let's look at both of those in a little detail. 1 Peter 3:15, but in your hearts set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. So, 1 Peter 3:15, be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks for a reason. Do it with gentleness and respect. And do it under the Lordship of Jesus. 2 Timothy 2:24 through 26. And the Lord's servant must not quarrel. Instead, he must be kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful. Those who oppose him, he must gently instruct in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading to a knowledge of the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil, who has taken them captive to do his will. So to summarize that, don't be quarrelsome, be kind, be competent, be gentle, realize it is God who must give repentance. They are ensnared by Satan. Well, that's a quick tour of some passages in the Bible that point us in this direction. So this is the end of our talk. May the Lord help us to be effective in reaching out to others. That's my prayer for myself and for you as well. Thank you.